I remember Tyron's testimony when he said that he the first time he took the drugs, and there was something there, something felt amazing. And he just, you can talk to him afterwards, it's an amazing testimony. I just wanted to get back to that place. And ultimately it destroyed them. They took away everything and they lost everything. And sometimes that is what happens when we look for joy and we look for fulfillment in the wrong places. We run hard after stuff in this life and it can't fulfill us. It can't make us happy. And true joy, we can only find it in God. And I just want to unpack it a bit, but before that, I'm just going to read for us John 15. It's not on the slides. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus is talking about a joy that is there, that's available for us. First, he talks about abiding in Christ, and we'll start talking about that a little bit, and then we'll continue next week. And from there's a place of obedience, not just doing whatever we want to do. And then there's a place of love, real love. And I pray that we will experience more of that. I know many of us has already experienced that love of God and we continue to experience it, but we can just go for more. Because every time and again we get tired, we try to do certain things, it doesn't work out, we get back into performance mode. And performance driven, and we think that maybe if I do all these things, I can earn something. Maybe if I do all the right things, I can get to a better place. And that is the trap of the performance mentality. And last week, Rian just started talking about a life in the flesh and then a life in the spirit. And we read in Galatians 5, the life in the spirit, something about how it looks. But before that, I just want to go to Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. Because we know, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I sense this morning in the worship that some of us, we actually at a place where you don't believe that you are Christ, that workmanship of God anymore. It's just difficult for you to think about yourself like that. And God just want to bring you back and say, you are my workmanship. I've created something beautiful inside of you. And if that is the only thing you remember, that's great. God is just bringing us back to that place. But also that's grace that made available for us to get saved. But sometimes what the guys that they go big on grace, they say, okay, so there's God's grace that's available for me, so now I can just do whatever. So they almost go from, we're saved through grace, we're saved through what God has done for us, and he made it available for us to follow him. But then often they go to, okay, so now it's just God's grace, and now I can do whatever. And we can't say those things. Grace doesn't give us a license to sin. What they will often say, no, but you do all this stuff. It's all about performance. It's all about doing the right things. And actually, the things that we do, the prayer, the reading our Bible, everything, we don't do it to earn something. If you do it to earn something, that is the wrong place. We do it out of a place of love. We do it out of a place of what we've experienced, of what God has done for us. Now that's the way that we respond to God, is we spend time in the Word, we spend time in prayer, we spend time in worship. And that's where the spiritual disciplines come in. It's a place where we, As we spend time in the Word, as we spend time in worship, I know and you will know that it's a place where we experience something of God. That's a place where God talks to us, where He speaks into our lives. It's almost like preparing a ground and God just comes and He does something amazing. So we don't do those things to earn something. We do it as a response to God. I remember when I started dating Lee, or whatever word you want to call, it's a lot of when we start going out or whatever. In the beginning, I just saw her and it was amazing. We talk and everything. And then I moved to Cape Town or in Goodwood, and she was still studying in Stellenbosch. So back in those days, cell phone call, it wasn't like WhatsApp. There were no WhatsApp. So you had to buy your SMS-er. And they were very expensive. And calling someone was even more expensive. And one pastor, he always told me, say, Yaku, just drive, just phone. It's an investment in your future. Just do those things. And for me, I was here and Lee was in Stellenbosch. So initially we all just phone or we take turns. Then she's phoning me and I phoning her. I think she had some of the money for her cell phone also come from her bursary or something. So I think we could have used some of that money that was available. And then we got engaged. But when we got engaged, everything changed. Then it was not enough just to phone her anymore. Then I actually wanted to see her. It's just something that changed. So then I got in my car. I remember still working as a developer, and we were still in Ronnebosch. So I would sit there behind my desk, and I'll get an SMS or email if Lee was in front of a computer that day, because we didn't have emails on phones and stuff. And I said, Yaku, can't you come through? And I think, okay, I'll go. So I want to go, but I've been there just yesterday and the day before that in Stellenbosch. So then I walk out of work and I say, okay, let's go. So I just drive through, and she was very diligent, engineering, studying very hard. So at a certain time, then say, okay, we can go for a milkshake at McDonald's. We get our milkshake, we're back, and I will program, and she will work and study, and then she says, okay, she must go to bed now. I said, okay, then it's time to go for me. So cheers, and then I drive home, back to work, next day. Okay, now I really want to see you. So, okay, back in my car, driving to Stellenbosch. So I remember many late nights coming back, and many of you might have similar stories. Coming back, you know, these when they work on the road, I used to, when I'm very tired, this is this, by the way, I buy a Bar One and a Coke just to make it from Stellenbosch to Goodwood. And when you start eating those Chevron signs, then you know that you've snoozed off the bit. It's time to come back to the road. Like a doof, doof, doof. But luckily, they quick release if they're the right way around. So, but it didn't happen every time. But I got tired and everything. But it never felt that I was doing hard work. It never felt like effort. It was just a response to love that I have. I would drive there, I would phone there, I would spend money. It didn't matter. And I sense that sometimes we get to a place where we think that what we do, reading our Bible, spend time with God, that somehow the devil comes and he wants to trick us. And they say, we want to do all these things to get some reward or to get somewhere and to earn something. We don't do it to earn anything. We do it as a response of our love for God. And that's what I pray, that each one will experience how amazing it is to spend time in God's Word. When we're tired, sometimes I'll just read. I mentioned before, and then something just refreshes you. And it's just amazing. Coming into worship. I don't want to miss corporate worship. Just because of all the times where God spoke to me in corporate worship. Then there's worship at home and everything. And this is just a time where God has called us to come into this. Just to come back. Just to come back. Not to works. Not to performance based, not to tick boxes. Just as a response to His love. And that is the invitation, and that's the invitation for us going forward in these couple of weeks. And I want to encourage you, maybe you feel like there's a lot of performance mentality, there's a lot of things I want to do, and you struggle in that space. And just say, Lord, I want to do it because I love you. And maybe write it down. We're not earning anything by doing this stuff. God save us by grace. But part of God's grace, if you look at the word, the charis, it's an empowerment. It's not only unmerited favor that we get and when we get saved and something that God makes available for us that we can respond to the love of God and we can come to Him, but there's also there's an empowerment and there's a divine help to do the right things. So it's not us that have to strive and to have to try to get to the standard of a holy living. It's really God coming, and through His grace, He helps us to live right. He helps us to live holy. He helps us. There's a divine empowerment that's available for us. And that excites me. The result of sin is still death. Sometimes people say, yes, I do all this stuff and all this, and it looks from the outside, it looks like they don't have any worries. They just do whatever they want to do. I tell you, we all know when you open the door for the devil to come in, there's destruction coming. There's destruction coming. That's not a great place to be. Even if you don't see the destruction, there will be turmoil, there will be pain, there will not be peace. That's a bad place to be. But God say that we can come back every time. We can repent and we can come back to Him every time. And that's again something that He's put us out for us. And that's made available for us. That we can repent and we can come back. That is good news. And then as we abide in Christ, as we come close to Him and abide in Him, then we can bear much fruit. And then there's a joy that's available. Then there's a joy that's available. I really want to encourage you to think about this, ponder about this word, and as we go forward, even in these weeks, don't think about fasting as things that you want to do or to earn something. Say, Lord, I just want to respond to your love. Maybe you just want to set aside a time for prayer. Every Monday for the next couple of Mondays, something else, then that is fine. That is time set aside. God said, when we draw close to Him, He draw close to us. He will respond. He will respond in a special way. And it's always amazing. For me, it's like a treasure. Spending time with God, it's like a treasure hunt. There's always something that pops up. Something amazing, something that changed my life or changed someone else's life. But yeah, that's just available. That is there. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Then in Galatians 5 verse 13, it says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And then, Rian also mentioned last week, that life in the Spirit, it leads to the Holy Spirit in verse 22, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. There's no law against these things. And these are beautiful things that God will produce in us. And I can see it in my own life, some of these things as I journey with God, as I spend time with God. And Lee will also share, and as he shared with some of the ladies, also what God has done in her life. And when we were in Durban, at Shofar Durban, we just went there to encourage the church there, and also had a parenting talk that we present. But I was standing there, and this year we're going to be married for 15 years. And I said to her, it's actually much better now than it was back then because of what God has done, because of the work of Christ in our lives. That's why I can say, because I'm actually a better person. Lee is a better person. She says it herself. Because when we start out, sometimes we are like a rough diamond. I think you guys will know what that means. But it's beautiful. God works inside of us. And there's grace available. There's a divine empowerment for us to live holy. And I just want to jump to John. Speak about John, but in Matthew 11, something that we also read last week in our time of intercession. It was just when John the Baptist, he was in prison and he heard all these things about Jesus, and then he sent his disciples. Remember, he was the one preparing the way for Jesus, and he was doing all the stuff. And now he's in prison and he sent his disciples to Jesus. So he's just going to ask if you are the one. And then Jesus quote a certain part of scripture. I don't think it's on there. I'll just read for us. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 4, Jesus told them, the guys that John has sent now, he said, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those of leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." And then Jesus added, "And God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." Other translations say, "Blessed are you if you're not offended because of me." And the piece that Jesus quoted was out of Isaiah 61. That he put there, but in essence, he was actually leaving something out. And the piece that he was leaving out is the part that said, "I will set the prisoners free." And it talks about prisoners. So Jesus sent back to the disciples, he said, to tell them everything that I'm doing. Tell them what you are seeing. And he quote out of Isaiah 61. And he just leave out that last part. "I've set the prisoners free," and all of that. Because remember, John is now sending his guys. He is in prison. And Jesus is coming where he said, "Wow, I know this part. I know this is what Jesus is doing." And then it's as if he was maybe sending this message to Jesus saying, "Lord, I'm in prison. Don't you want to come and save me?" And Jesus replied, "This is all the stuff that I'm doing. I'm still God. I'm still God. I'm still worthy to be saved. Even while you are in prison, I'm still God." And he didn't get out of that prison. That is where he was died and everything. But in that, it was just a message to me of, it's not only about us being happy. Sometimes we think that everything must work out, that we can be happy in our own way of thinking about joy and thinking that everything must fall in place, everything must be perfect. We live in a fallen and a broken world. And sometimes there are sickness, and sometimes there are things that's part of our life. But God is beyond all of that. God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be loved. Not for what we can get, just because he's God. Because he's God. And even when Jesus responded to John, sending his disciples from prison, he said, "See, this is all the stuff that I'm doing. I can do everything. But you're not going to get out of prison." But I believe even there was a place where John could have come to a place of inner peace just because of God. God of Jesus responding to him and speaking to him in his situation. And I really want to encourage us, when we go through whatever situation, we go to Jesus, we bring it to him because he's God. And we ask him to help us, we ask him to pull us through. And then in the end of that same chapter, Matthew 11. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These people come to me, you who are weary. These are Jews that were following the laws. They were doing all this stuff. Some of them even got baptized by John, maybe. And then Jesus said, come to me, you are weary and burdened. And my yoke is easy. So I brought the yoke that you guys can see. Okay, this is a yoke. So I got it from my dad. It hangs there in his house. And I said to him, I think it would be good for us to see a yoke. When Jesus talked about, come to me, my yoke is light. And it's really talking about a partnership. Jesus is calling us first to come to him. First to come to him, to come closer and to draw closer to him. But this, you can see that this can be set. When the Bible talks about the yoke is easy, that easy is custom-made. It's not only just easy. The word there is also, it's custom-made. Where Jesus said, I know your situation. I know what you are going through. I know what you need. Come to me. Come to me. When we yoke together, my dad said this one was there's a strong ox that you put on this side, and then there's the weak one that you put on this side. So the strong one will work harder than the weak one. So it's not that we come to Jesus and now we don't want to do anything. There's good things that God has prepared for us. There's good things that God wants us to walk and to do. There's things that He's prepared for us. But He said, come to me and yoke with me. Yoke with me. Come to me and come with me and we can pull together. And I will, and this is what I sense God is saying, that He's the stronger one. He will go on the side that will work the hardest. He will be the one on this side. This is the middle. This is off center. So if you put the ropes here and you bring it to this side, this one will pull a bit stronger than the weak one. It's also further out on this side. So the stronger one is going to work harder than the weak one. But in essence, they did it like this with the oxen so that they pull together, that they walk together. There's not one pulling in front of the other one, and it gets a bit trickier when you go around circles and stuff. Then you must, yeah, then it gets interesting. But that is for me such a beautiful thing that God is saying, come to me. I just want to read it again. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And weary and burdened talks about this Jews that were doing all the right stuff. They heard all the stories. They seen the miracles of Jesus. Just in that same chapter, Jesus is saying that just after he sent John's disciples away, and he said to him, and then he told the people, he said, John did a great work. He was the one that coming before me. He was the one baptizing people. His message was repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. But the people didn't listen. And then Jesus said in verse 16, to what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others, we played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, you did not mourn. But the pipes were instruments that they used at weddings. That was the cue for the dance. Like we wait for the first dance and then everyone's on the floor and then we dance. That instrument, that things that proclaim, this is now the time to dance. This is now the time. John was there. He was proclaiming a time to repent. Jesus goes on and he talks about the cities where he's been. And they say, you Capernaum, will you lift it? Well, he goes on and from verse 20. Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of the miracles had been performed because they did not repent. They did not listen to the message. They did not see what is happening. They stayed in that place of just following under the law, of just doing all the stuff, trying to earn something. And then Jesus said, come to me, all those who are weary. Come. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And then it talks about, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Because this is Jesus already in this yoke. He said, come and partner with me and learn from me. So first there's a come, there's a take. Take the yoke. Learn from me. It's not just a passive, now you're just in here and you're just going and hanging in there. And Jesus said, the yoke is easy. Then he said, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This thing is custom-made for each one of us to partner with God. There's this in Matthew 22. There's another piece about a wedding. I just quickly want to mention. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And he sent servants, and then he goes invite people, and they didn't come, and then he invites other people. And eventually they just invited lots of people. And then he sent to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those who are invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets, gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. The thing about weddings in those days, the father of the bride, he had wedding clothes made. As you come to the wedding, he would give you wedding clothes. So they couldn't just come in their own clothes. They couldn't come with what they've done. And it speaks to me of all our performance and all our stuff. There's wedding clothes prepared for us. There's wedding clothes prepared for each one of us as we come to Jesus. There are things custom made for us, beautiful for each one of us. And as we come to Jesus, we can receive these clothes from Him. If we say, yes, Jesus, I come to you. Save me. I want to partner with you. And then we see after that where the king told the attendants to him, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and a gnashing of teeth. So this guy had the wrong clothes on. He couldn't save himself through his own garment, through all the stuff that he was doing, through all the stuff that his clothes and maybe his efforts and his own identity. And Jesus was speaking about this wedding, but when there was a wedding, there was garments made for everyone. They received it. And lastly, there was joy. There was joy. At a wedding, there's joy. And I trust that in this time where we go in, that we will find our joy in the Lord again. Maybe that's the only thing that you want to say every day, Lord, I just want to find your joy again. I want to move away, Lord, from striving to earn something. But don't throw your praying and your Bible reading and your worship, don't throw it out. Say, Lord, I'm just preparing the ground. I open up my heart. Please speak to me. Show something new to me. Show me something fresh out of your word. Through the years, there's a few ways that's different for me, how God speaks to me. There's a number that I sometimes see a certain number. There's a way that certain scripture jumps out. I believe God will give you your own thing. As you spend time with Him, you will have your own special thing. Maybe the way that you hear His voice, maybe the way that He highlights scripture for you, maybe something, a blue car that passes past your car every day. I've been running a few times in Tigerberg Nature Reserve. And there's one bench there. that I usually go sit there and then I'm tired and I look over Cape Town and Table Mountain. And the last few times there's this small black and white bird. Every time I sit there, then this birdie will just come and sit right in front of me. Just for a little while, and it flew off. And actually, I just thought, this is so beautiful, but it just reminds me of Jesus. And so now when I go running, I just look for that birdie, because you don't see them everywhere. It's just special. I think it's just Jesus is sending a little bird for me. God will send little birds for you. He will send special things for you. As you spend time in the Word, as you spend time in prayer, as we worship together, there's going to be special moments, and there's going to be lots and lots of special moments. And that's going to lead to joy. A joy that we can only find when we come and spend time with Jesus. A joy that's not available to all our other stuff that we are doing. But let's stand. Just end off with a song. And I just want you to just bring your heart to the Lord. We will talk a bit more in the next week. I've got my kite here as well. But I'll leave that one for that illustration for next Sunday, where you can fly kites and everything. But I hope that this yoke will really encourage you. It will really encourage you to come to Jesus, to take this yoke, to partner with God, a yoke that's custom-made for us, a yoke that is light, because you're not by yourself. You're not doing this stuff. We're still doing things. We're still learning. But God is pulling with us. And He's the stronger one. He's doing the hard work. We're walking with Him. And I pray that we can move away from a place where we're just ticking boxes of to do the right things. But you say, Lord, I do these things in response to your love. Because God's standard is still holiness. That's still God's standard. But there's grace for that. There's a divine empowerment that will help us. And when we fall, God calls us back. He said, turn around and repent. And I will forgive you. And we will continue the journey. Amen. Let's worship and let's respond.